Chinaya, welcome to the Gardener's Corner program, and I understand you're doing some your internship, you know, with the Cooperative Extension Service, and I understand that you are a student at is it NC State?
Did anything stick with me?
No, he's
asking.
You're at NC State.
Oh, yes, I'm at NC State.
Okay. Now, so what courses are you actually taking at NC State?
I'm a social work major with a minor in criminology, so basically I'm taking a bunch of social work classes.
So that has something to do, in a sense, with working with the Extension Service, and how long have you been there as the intern?
I've been here a week and some change.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you enjoyed the first week or so of it?
Yes, I've enjoyed it a lot. I've learned a lot, especially about agriculture, which I don't really have experience in.
Right.
But I've a ton of vocabulary and plant identification, and I got to fly a drone and see how things like soybeans were planted, so that was cool.
Well, that is very neat. So, as being an intern with the Extension Service, it's introducing you to a lot of things that you have never been involved with, and I just think that's wonderful. And now you got a lot of knowledgeable people there, so learn as much as you can from them. And Johnny Coley, he's extremely knowledgeable, and we always enjoy our time with all the agents, and here it is, gardening and growing season. You know, it's been pretty hot the last several days, but temperatures are going to kind of cool off a little bit, which I think today here in Person County, they're saying somewhere around 79 to 80 is our expected high. And yesterday, we got up to 90 degrees at the Raleigh Regional Airport at Person County. And, Johnny, when it's hot and humid like that, that's hard on plants. Is that correct?
It is, Rob, yes. And the hardest thing on plants is the nighttime temperatures. When the nighttime temperatures don't get below 70 degrees, plants really have a hard time coping with that. So it's, you know, whenever we can drop back down into the 60s, it always gives the plants a little bit of a break. But I think we mentioned last time that, you know, tomatoes, you know, people, you think of garden, the first thing that comes to mind is tomatoes, because everybody has tomatoes in their garden, it seems like. And, you know, they like, you know, nighttime temperatures between 60 and 70 and daytime temperatures between 70 and 80 would be their preference. So when we get up into the high 80s, 90s, they suffer. And the humidity is even worse. You know, humidity is terrible. The last couple of days have been really, really high humidities, high humidity days, and that, you know, that really does take a factor on disease pressure on plants. I had a gentleman call this morning about zinnias. He had some black spot on his zinnias, and zinnias are notorious for getting fungus, you know, the black spot fungus on them. And a preventative spray is best, but variety, and that's what I tell people with vegetable plants, is variety, picking the right variety so you don't have the disease issues. Get some resistance on some varieties, especially tomatoes, and even some flowering plants might be susceptible to certain diseases. You can get varieties that are more resistant to those diseases. But, yeah, The heat and humidity is really takes a toll on the plants.
So, in a sense, you need to do a little bit of research before you choose what plants to plant. And also, it's good to talk with the nursery or wherever it may be that you're purchasing the plants from. You know, you just may want to take a few minutes, if they have time, just to, you know, see what they suggest, because it's a lot of work, it's an expense, and you certainly want to put your best foot forward on making gardening a success. Johnny, you mentioned one thing before we went on air. You said something about the Plant Toolbox through North Carolina State University. Did I even get that close to being right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're right on target. Yeah, I couldn't remember, Rob, if I talked about this on air before. It's a great reference for people to use if they want some more information about a plant. It's got all types of plants on that particular. It's a database, if you will, of plant material. And if in your search engine, if you just put in NCSU Plant Toolbox or NCSU Plant Database, this site will normally come up. And it's got a lot of good features. You can search for a particular plant, and it will give you information about, you know, where sun, shade, you know, what zone, hardiness zone it does best in, and a little bit of cultural information on you know, how to raise it, what, you know, just what it likes, wet, dry. It has that. You can also filter, if you're looking for a particular plant for space, you can filter. It has a filter on there that you can select different locations and use of that plant that you want to use it in, and it'll give you some recommendations of plants that would fit that space. So it's a very good tool. It's always sort of being changed and added to, and but it's, you know, if you're looking for a particular plant, if you have, it's always good to go to sites like this, because you can depend on that information to be correct. You know, a lot of times if you go to other sites and you're looking for information on a particular plant, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes, just the size and the information they have on there doesn't always coincide with what the actual research shows, and that's what the NC State site does. And there are other EDU sites that, you know, you can go to, but this plant, NCSU Toolbox, I think it's the Extension Toolbox is what it's called. And, it's, you know, it's just very, very helpful in learning more about plants. And like I said, if you're trying to select a plant for a particular area, it can help you with that as well.
And what is the more or less best way to look it up again?
Well, if you put in your search engine, NCSU Plant Toolbox, it usually will come up. North Carolina Plant Toolbox Extension Gardener. But yeah, just put NCSU Plant Toolbox, and that'll usually come up the first thing on the search engine. So that's the best way to get to it. NCSU Plants would probably get you there as well. So, you know, the actual site, plants.ces.ncsu.edu. So it's plants.ces.ncsu.edu would be the actual address for it. So, but it's just a great site. It took a while, of course, to get all these plants in this database, but it's really, really been worth the while and the effort to do that, because it's just a great resource. It's got pictures, and, you know, I love pictures of plants. So it's got, you know, pictures so you can see what the plant's going to look like, you know, when it's grown, when it's blooming. Many of the pictures will show if a plant has interest in different seasons. It'll show those different seasons the interest that plant has. So it's a great tool.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a wonderful site to check out. Well, Johnny, something else I want to ask you about, and then we need to take a break. On as far as the Master Gardeners course, you're going to be having one of those starting up within the next few months or so, correct?
We are, yeah, August 11th We'll start that, and going to start trying to promote that a little bit heavier. I've had several people that have shown interest in it, so we'll be signing people up for that here. You know, it's about 2 months away now. It's hard to believe that it's crept up on us. So, looking at right now, Rob, having the class is going to be at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department. It's where we're going to have the class. I talked to the chief there, and looks like we're going to be able to work out to have the class there. That's Berea is sort of an in-between person in Granville County. I wanted to have a spot that that wouldn't be so far away from anybody, and that's a fairly local, a fairly centralized place for both counties. And looking forward to having it there. That way, we don't have to have it in Granville County one time and Person County another. You know, it's not a back and forth. We've got it in one location every week. Actually having this class in conjunction with the Vance and Warren County horticulture agent, Paul McKenzie, we're doing a trial training this year as he's going to be at his location and I'm going to be at my location, and we're just going to Zoom the two classes together. There was definitely, COVID was a terrible thing and still going on, of course. But, the technology that we became familiar with through it has helped us to do other programs. So this is, doing the Zoom has definitely been a plus. But we wanted to have, the last class I did all Zoom. We didn't have any face-to-face because it was in 2020.
Yeah,
right in the
COVID,
middle of the pandemic. This time we're going to meet face to face, but we are going to Zoom two classes together. So looking forward to that. So if you're out there and you've heard me speak before, you rest assured you won't have to talk. You won't have to listen to me talk every week. We'll have other speakers there. So Paul and I will take on some of the responsibilities, and then we have some specialists from NC State that'll come in, take some classes, and other agents around the state. They'll also come in to do some of them. So I'm looking forward to it. It lasts from August 11th till the 1st of December, every Thursday from 9 till 12. So it's a 3-hour-per-week class on Thursday mornings through the 1st of December. And, it goes by pretty quick. I like to think that it's a good class to take. So if you're interested in being a Master Gardener volunteer, and there's responsibilities that go along with being a volunteer. I've got some great volunteers that have taken the class and are still participating in the program. So it's a great opportunity to learn about plants and to continue learning about plants, because you will not learn everything there is to know about plants in that training, but staying with the Master Gardener program, you continue to learn throughout.
336-599-1195 or 919-603-1350. We'll put you in touch with either the person or Granville County office to where you can get more information about the Master Gardeners.
Let me mention one thing, Rob, on that, because I didn't mention the fees. It is a $150 fee.
Okay.
For the class. It does include a book. You get a hard copy of a hardback book that's lots of information in that book. I forget how many pages it is, but it's a pretty thick book. So you get that with it, and then some monies will go toward NC State Extension Master Gardener program to support the program as well. So for what the information that you get, I think the cost is well worth it.
Johnny, we need to take a break to get a message on for some of our sponsors. And when we come back, I've got a couple of questions for you. One pertaining to Bermuda grass, and you had wanted to talk a little bit about lawn care, I think. Anyway, and I have a question about purple whole peas. So y'all hang on. We'll be back right after these messages.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces Williams Farm and others farm equipment auction sale to be held Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m. The sale address, 2436 Lonnie Gentry Road in Roxboro, North Carolina. On-site bidding or bidding online available through proxy bid. No bias premium. For more information about terms and to see pictures of some of the items up for auction, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. You can also call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction on Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m., tractors, sprayers, excavator, vehicles, trailers, tobacco, irrigation, tillage, and much more equipment. That's Saturday, June 11th, 10 a.m., the farm equipment auction for Williams Farms and others at 2436 Lonnie Gentry Road in Roxboro. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. South Boston Memorials, located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia, has been in business since 1958. The Myers family of South Boston Memorials believe that every life has a story. For four generations, their life work has been to present and preserve that story for our prosperity to hear. Allow South Boston Memorials to tell yours. South Boston Memorials has granite memorials, markers, and mausoleums over 300 in stock. In-house laser etching is available at South Boston Memorials, and they can also make pet markers. For memorial benches, vases, and monuments, call on South Boston Memorials at 434-572-3859 or visit their website, sobomemorials.com. That's 434-572-3859. South Boston Memorials is located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia. Like us on Facebook or visit the website, sobomemorials.com.
We do appreciate the support of South Boston Memorials and Jason Acock Auctioneering. Our guest today on the program is Johnny Coley and Shania Williams. And Johnny, I know you'd mentioned to talk a little bit about lawn care. We had someone to call into the radio station here, and they wanted to know, what is the best time to transplant or plant Bermuda grass?
For planting it, you want to do it now. Now, the time for spreading or planting, now would be a good time to go ahead and do that. You're going to need to be able to keep some water on it, of course, through the hot months of summer. Being able to keep some water on it, so, you know, keep it moist. But, you know, the soil temperatures now are getting to the point where it would be a good time to go ahead and do that. Of course, sprigging, you can, you know, do the sprigs. Usually, I think of zoysia grass of doing plugs, and the Bermuda grass, you usually do what they call sprigs. So it's just some runners, the rhizomes there, you just lay them on the ground and get them in contact with the soil and start watering them, and they usually take right off this time of year. Of course, you could also sod them, which would be just laying down you just take the grass and just lay it in pieces, and you pretty much take an area that's just all dirt, and all of a sudden you have grass there. So, again, that takes this time of year. It's fine to do it, but it takes some water. You really have to keep the water on the grass this time of year in order to get that established. But now it's, you know, the warm season grasses, Zoysia and Bermuda. Zoysia is not usually seeded. Bermuda you can seed, and it had pretty good results from seeding Bermuda. Zoysia is such a slow grass to germinate. Most people will either plug it, which is just a small plug of the grass, and let it spread and creep into the area, or they will sod it. You know, start out with sod. So the zoysia is not usually grown from seeds by the homeowner. But yeah, the warm season grasses now, you know, you want to make sure you keep plenty of water on them, but you also keep the fertilizer on them as well. Usually they don't take as much fertilizer as your fescue, half pound to a pound nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. April or May is when you start that, and then you wouldn't want to fertilize much after probably the July time frame, because you want that Bermuda or warm season grasses to start going dormant. You don't want to push them too far into the fall with fertilizer. Right now with your fescues, you're not doing anything pretty much but mowing them and keeping it watered. Your fescue lawns, you don't want to really apply any fertilizer. They did I've mentioned this before, Rob, they did a research, or did some research on fescue a couple of years ago, and it was a several-year research on fescue as far as fertilizing it in the summertime. And the research showed that you could put some fertilizer, but you want to probably cut it half rate, so half pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. It was thought that brown patch, which is a fungus that gets on the fescue or can affect fescue, it was worse if you had high nitrogen fertilizers out. Well, the research showed that at the lower rates, you could fertilize without having any adverse effects on the grass or the turf from that particular disease. So, you know, you could do a little fertilizing, you know, maybe in June. If you catch a cool period with maybe some rain, that would be best, and do some fertilizing. But the recommendations from NC State is still fertilizing fescue September, the beginning of September, so Labor Day, the end of November, or Thanksgiving, and the middle of February, or Valentine's Day. So Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day is when you want to fertilize your at the full rate of your fescue. If you do any fertilizing in the warmer season, you want to do it half rate. Just a long time between the middle of February till September. That's a long time for a grass to go without any fertilizer. And so, you know, you can get by with that, just not as heavy. But watering, you know, keeping water on all the grasses right now is key. We got 2.5 to 3 inches, depending on where you were last week. But this week, unfortunately, we didn't get any yesterday. I don't know if y'all got any or not. I know there was some showers around. But, you know, as I've said before, turf grass wants about an inch of rain a week. But we don't get that in the summertime. We get 2 or 3 inches, and then we'll go 2 or 3 weeks with nothing, and that's where we are right now. So just keep that water on them. Water it in the morning is best, because you don't want to keep the foliage wet overnight, because that can cause more disease issues.
Yeah, I think it was some, you know, showers around the county, not a lot of rain, but I know you've said in the past, whether it's for the lawn or the garden or whatever, that, like, you know, 1 inch of rain per week is sufficient. But, you know, sometimes we may go several weeks without any rain, and then we may have a rain where we get a couple of inches, and then sometimes we may not get any rain at all, hardly. Another question for you, Johnny. What is the best time to plant purple hull peas here in Person County?
Purple, go ahead and get them in the ground now. I mean, you could plant them. You could have planted them probably a week or two ago, mid-May. It depends a lot on the weather, but 1st of June is a good time to plant the purple hull peas. The peas like it warmer. They like the warmer nights, so planting them now is good. You know, to go ahead and get them planted and get them established. Again, you might have to keep a little water on them once they germinate if they don't get natural rain. But yeah, now's a good time to go ahead and get them in the ground.
Now, Johnny, couple other points of interest I want to touch on. You've got a program coming up here at Person County Public Library pretty soon, don't you?
We do. Next Wednesday from 12 to 1. It's a sort of a series I've had through the springtime. Next week we'll wrap that series up. Next week's topic is pollinators and perennials. The month of June is pollinator and perennial month. We recognize pollinators and perennials during the month of June. I mean, they're always important throughout the whole year, but this is the sort of the peak month, if you will, for perennials and pollinators to be out there. Everybody loves their perennials, and you know, as far as defining perennial, Rob, it is a plant that completes its life cycle in 3 years or more. You plant it and it'll come back for at least 3 years, and hopefully longer than that for most of the perennials. But a lot of people will come to me and say, "Well, my such and such comes back every year." We'll take 4 o'clocks, for instance, 4 o'clocks, and there may be some varieties of 4 o'clocks that are more perennial, but they're normally reseed very well. Periwinkle or vinca is an annual plant that will reseed, and a lot of people say that they'll come back for them. But if a plant comes back from the seed, they're not actually considered a perennial. It has to come back from the roots. And a lot of the herbaceous perennials, that's the perennials that die back each year. They go dormant, and then they come back in the spring. Lots of them, it's a whole lot of different perennials. They bloom at different times of the season. To create the perfect perennial garden, you know, you would have something blooming throughout the season. You'd have something blooming early spring. Those have already faded. Now you have something coming back now beginning to bloom when they fade. Perennial's going to bloom probably for the most part. Now, there are some perennials that will bloom for you all summer, but for the most part, perennials are going to bloom 4 to 6 weeks, and then they're going to fade, and then you want another variety or another type of perennial that's going to take its place. Texture with perennials is a big thing, too. There's lots of perennial grasses out there that make very nice plants that fill in spots in the landscape. The perennials are, they're definitely a great plant to use, and we all know the importance of pollinators as we go through the year. Planting plants that will attract pollinators, especially if it's close to your garden, is a very good thing, because we need the pollinators to pollinate our flowers in the garden so that we'll, get fruit. If the flowers don't, the female flowers don't get pollinated in the garden, then we, of course, will not have the fruit that we want in our garden. So pollinators are very important. As far as, spraying, it's always difficult, because you're going to have those bugs that are not pollinators that you don't want in your garden. And unfortunately, a lot of insecticides don't know the difference between the pollinator and the bad insects. So if you can spray late evening, closer to sunset, it's good to spray then. A lot of the pollinators have gone back to their nest or to their homes for the evening, and you can spray then and get some of the bad bugs that'll be out there. the aphids or the Japanese beetles or whatever, that don't really go back to a particular place. They just, you know, they'll be there throughout the night, so you can get them at that time. So, you know, just being particular when you spray is one of the biggest things for helping help your pollinators, but yet get the bad bugs as well. So, but yeah, anybody that wants to join next week, like I said, it's going to be an hour long. We're going to go over some different perennials, some that you'll be familiar with, some hopefully that we'll introduce you to for the first time, and we'll also talk about the care of pollinators and the different types of pollinators that we do have. Some things that sometimes we don't think of as pollinators. That, like I said, will be from 12 to 1 on June 8th, next Wednesday. You can come face-to-face at the Person County Library, or I will have a Zoom link. And if you'll register through Eventbrite, I've got an Eventbrite set up. So if you need that link to register, just give me a call. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have that link on the website of Person or Granville County. I need to get that up there, but I'm terrible at marketing. Can you tell, Rob? Marketing.
Well, you're just a busy, busy person, Johnny. So you got a lot going on.
But if you need information, just give us a call and we'll get you signed up.
Well, now, Chania, anytime you want to add something into the conversation, you're more than welcome. We're glad to have you on the program with us today. Well, Johnny, now, here it is, first part of June. Still good time to plant any kind of warm season vegetables?
Rob, through June, you really are good planting pretty much any of your warm season vegetables. Tomatoes, you know, usually by the 4th of July, you want to have your last crop of tomatoes in the ground. Give them plenty of time to harvest. You have plenty of time to harvest them before the frost. But yeah, you still have plenty of time. We have such a long growing season here for the warm season vegetables. You know, you definitely can. And you know, a lot of people, a lot of years, people have already harvested like squash and cucumbers by now, and you could plant another crop. You know, just have a succession crop, or skip a little while and have them a little bit later in the summer. A lot of people, you know, like to plant in the garden. You know, first of May, end of April, first of May, harvest what they can by the mid July time frame, and then they're ready to just, you know, give the garden a rest. Or themselves too, rest, because as I've said before, the easiest part of planting the garden is planting. And then, once those weeds start.
And then that's when the work really starts.
That's right, that's right. The work starts after you plant it. And, so a lot of people, you know, are ready to sort of give the garden a break. And then start the fall garden, your cool season crop, you know, starting them up into the end of August, first of September. You're going to go back in with them, so you don't have too much of a break, but but it's still plenty of time to plant your warm season garden. It's June 3rd, so pretty soon. If you're going to plant pumpkins is takes a long time. Pumpkins is one of your longer production, especially the larger pumpkins. It takes a while from seed to harvest on them, some of them as much as 120 days. So, you know, you need to allow time to, usually pumpkins, you want them to come in about late summer, early fall is when you want your pumpkins to ripen. So planting them, by the middle of June will put you there and good timing for the fall pumpkin season. If they're smaller varieties, you could get by with planting them a little bit later to have them harvested at the same time. Yeah, everything right now, as far as warm season crops, you're good to go.
Okay. All right, we need to take
Sweet potatoes, great time to plant sweet potatoes. If you want to get your sweet potatoes.
I'm glad you mentioned that. They are sweet, delicious, and nutritious.
That's right.
We need to work in a break for Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, and T.G. Brooks Company. We'll be back with more Gardener's Corn after these messages.
Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, is made in Roxboro. Pick up some the next time you're shopping at Hurdle Mills Market and Butcher Shop, North Main IGA, Supply Line Discounts in South Boston, Virginia, Food Lion, or Kenyon's Meat Market in Mebane. You can enjoy Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip at Rock City Grill, Cole's Pharmacy, Trish's Espresso, and Clarksville Station. Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, remind you that goodness grows in North Carolina. Try the jalapeno added for extra flavor. That's Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip.
What a terrific spring we had this year. Now June and July are the months when we start to see the fruits of our spring labor in our yards and gardens. The planting season has been a good one, and you still have time to plant vegetables and flowers for a summer of beauty. When the gardens come in, they have the canning jars in half pints, pints, quarts, and half gallons, plus strainers, funnels, and most other canning supplies. It is also wide open lawn and garden time. T.G. Brooks Company has plenty of tomato plants still. They have lots of them, many varieties. They have some vegetable plants, garden seed, and all ready to plant. T.G. Brooks has irrigation supplies, water hose, nozzles, sprinklers, and all that you need during the drier weeks. Reseed your lawn with clean, fresh seed, and they have fertilizer and lime. They have the famous Daddy Pete's manure sold by the bag. They have sprayers, both tank and backpack. And if you need mulch, they stock it in abundance, even the triple ground mulch. T.G. Brooks Company has your insecticides for vegetables and fungicides. They have chemicals for your grass protection and bug protections, too, for home pest control. In fact, all your garden and home chemical needs, no matter if you are a homeowner or a commercial landscaper, T.G. Brooks handles everybody with the same courteous service. They can arrange delivery, or you can pull in with your pickup truck, trailer, and they'll load it up for you. The bagged products, they will load up for you in your car or van. Make your way over to 411 Helena Mariah Road in Timberlake. Phone them at 364-2428. As always, T.G. Brooks has proudly served the homeowner, the farmer, and those in construction since way back in 1936.
We do appreciate the support of T.G. Brooks Company and Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip. It's the Gardener's Corner program with Johnny Coley and Shania Williams. Johnny, how long before the blueberries will be ready?
Rob, glad you asked. That it's coming up quick. I was out at the blueberry demonstration plot. Actually, Shania went out with me last Friday. We were out there looking, and they're close. By mid to late June, start looking for blueberries to be ready to harvest. So if you know you've got your favorite place to go pick blueberries, or if you have them at home, keep an eye on them because they're these flying animals called birds that will pick the blueberries for you if you're not careful. So just keep an eye on your blueberries so you can get them before the birds do. But pretty soon, definitely by the end of June. But some varieties probably will be ready to harvest by the first of June. Not the first of June, by the middle of June. I don't think haven't seen any varieties ready yet. So but by the first of by the middle of June, we'll have some varieties that are ready. So, one of my favorite fruits, and I think many other people love the blueberries. They're a little bit small to pick, but if you get a good crop of them, you can pick them pretty fast. You just want to make sure you have whatever you put them in. You can attach it to your waistband or your belt or something, so you can pick with both hands. You don't want to be able to pick with just one hand and hold the bucket. Pick with both hands. Or eat with one hand and pick with the other one or something,
Well, now, Johnny, fig trees, they have had small figs on them for a month or more now, it seems. And I don't ever remember the fig bushes having figs on them this early in the year, or is that just something I've been overlooking?
They usually start pretty early. Yeah, they usually will start having the figs on them pretty early. They might be a little bigger than normal. We didn't have a frost. We had one frost, and I'm speaking from our house. We had one late frost that sort of affected them a little bit. Got down pretty cold, but for the most part, the figs did survive the cold this year. So we may be a little bit bigger earlier. I know some figs will actually have on tap, will put on two crops, not in this area. Usually have to be a little bit further east. I know my mother-in-law lived in the city area, and she always had two crops of figs each year on her brown, I'm pretty sure hers were brown turkey figs that she had. But here we usually just have the one crop. But the thing with the figs is about now when they really start growing, our water cuts off. And so if you want to develop your figs and get your figs, you know, fully to mature, you want to keep an eye on the water and make sure they're watered properly throughout the growing season, because the lack of water can really affect the fig crop if we start getting too dry or going too long without any water.
Well, now, Johnny, what kind of advice can you offer someone that is keeping their finger on the pulse of the economy and the prices of fruits and vegetables? What kind of advice could you give someone to go ahead and plant something? I mean, any suggestions on maybe a couple of squash plants, a couple of cucumbers, and things like that?
Yeah, you hit it right on the nose there, Rob, saying a couple. You know, don't think you've got to plant, you know, a half-acre garden. You know, just a small area of two or three squash and two or three cucumber plants will give you a lot of fruit. So, you know, you don't need to plant a lot of them, but cucumbers, the squash, the zucchini squash, of course, tomatoes we've mentioned, peas, butter beans, you know, those are all, of all of those, probably tomato is probably your hardest one to grow. But, you know, all of those things would help you, you know, save some money at the grocery store by having your own fruit. You know, like I said, you don't have to have a lot. And even butter beans and peas, you don't have to plant a whole lot of them. You know, you can do the succession planting, as I mentioned, and have some, you know, coming on at different times, and that way they're not all coming in at one time. So you have, you know, different harvest times for your vegetables. So that would always be a good thing to do. But yeah, and even, you know, planting fruit. Most fruit plants are going to require a couple of years, you know, before you're going to start doing harvest them. On them, blackberries, I guess, would be one of the ones that, you know, you can harvest the following year after you plant them. But blueberries, it's going to take a couple of years. Apples, figs, you know, it takes a little while to grow those plants to big enough to actually produce fruit. But you know, growing, you know, small, and you know, a lot of these you don't have to plant a lot of them either. The blueberries, you want to plant probably three plants and have them all three different varieties for cross-pollination. Figs do not require cross-pollination. So grapes, if you want to do a grapevine, you know, that you have to be careful on varieties for them as far as pollination goes. Blackberries, usually you don't need a pollinator or cross-pollination for blackberries. So, you know, just knowing what you're planting and knowing the varieties that you plant.
Now, Johnny, I had someone to send me a picture of some well, it's a plant, but a plant growing in an unwanted spot is a weed, correct?
Yeah.
And anyway, they was asking if maybe I could identify it or have you to identify it. So I tell you what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to text you that picture right now, and maybe you can look at it and see. The gentleman actually came by the radio station, and he was thinking that you was actually here in person today. But anyway, nevertheless, I just sent that to you.
This is a weed. It looks like Creeping Charlie.
Right.
If it has a very pungent smell to it, that's Creeping Charlie, it looks like. But this is considered a weed. A broadleaf herbicide should take care of it.
A broadleaf herbicide, you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It looks like Creeping Charlie just at first glance. I can do a little more looking probably, but if it does, something else he could tell if he ruffled it up or if he picked some of it and smelled of it, if it had a very pungent smell to it,
okay.
that would be Creeping Charlie.
He just sent me a message, and I think he hit the nail on the head. He said it does smell, so
yeah.
I'm going to give you 100 on that test until I get more information.
It's my first 100. Wow.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, Johnny, we got about 1 minute left. And any last things that you want to pass along to the listeners or anything
that I want to mention? Covered a lot of stuff. I'm going to let Shanae have this last minute. And I think she went out with Kim yesterday and learned something about fescue.
All right, well, good. Go right ahead, Shania.
So with fescue grass, the farmer I talked to yesterday, he funnily enough told me that 99% of it is bad, but only 1% of it is good because it is an invasive species. And something called Kentucky 31 is like an alkaloid that harms cattle and it constricts blood vessels in the cattle, and it's just really tough to kill. And the farmer said that you can lose up to 2 years of production.
So she's talking about the novel endophyte.
That's right. That's right. And you know, that's what most people around here plant is Kentucky 31, and it's an old standby grass, but it is not the best, you know, for cattle to graze. And it can, you know, it's a lot better varieties that can be planted. And so it sounds like she's learning a lot already, and that's good, Tania. So I want to wish you the very best. That's right. That's good. That's good. Real good. So, well, look, Johnny, Tania, thank y'all for being on the program today. And if you have a question for Johnny or Chania, you can contact them by calling the Granville County office, 919-603-1350. And if you're having an issue or something like that, just contact your local Cooperative Extension Service office. They are people with knowledge, and they are glad to help out any way that they possibly can. Special thanks to our sponsors, T.G. Brooks Company, Jason Acock Auctioneering, Our Pride Foods, and South Boston Memorials. Johnny, y'all have a good weekend. And, Johnny, I guess we've got you on later on in the month on the program, I think.
All right. Yep. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Tania, enjoyed your input on the program today, and I hope you enjoyed being on here with us.
Oh, I did. I feel like I learned a lot from what you guys were talking about, and hopefully I'll have more stuff to say if I do this again.
All right. That sounds good. All righty, y'all have a wonderful Friday and a good weekend.
Roxborough Radio is rated #1 with Person County listeners. WKRX, my hometown station.